Change is a part of our life, and interruptions are a part of our life, and it's only growing more so because our society is speeding up with things like the internet and the ability that we get to go all over the world and grab any information we want, and people can communicate to us any kind of information. I mind, it is changing, and pulling off Christmas without interruptions, that's a pipe dream. If you try to pull off Christmas, you're going to get interruptions. One of the biggest is our society or business telling us what toys we have to get for our kids, because the kids see a commercial and, "Mom, Dad, I got to have that toy." Problem is, everybody's saying that. And then there's always a toy that like gets scarce. And now you've got to try to get this toy because the kid says, "My life will not be worth living if I don't get this toy." And they're out. Like the hot one right now is Wowie Fingerlings. Yeah, Wowie Fingerlings. You can't get them. And if you look at them closely, another name for them is Ripoff. But they're big. And then the other big one right now is Hatchimals. Hatchimals. Yeah, the Hatchimal. Now, to my Filipino friends, this is not a balut. And so don't go there. My wife, Didi, was, when our kids were little, I mean, she was the greatest mom in the world. She would do anything to get our kids what they really wanted, you know, and it's like ridiculous stuff, you know, and I'd be watching TV, "What are you doing?" And, "No, man, they can get it next year." "Okay, go get it, go." And like one of the hot ones that you could not find back when my kids were small was Cabbage Patch dolls. I mean, look, the ugliest doll ever made. They said, "You know what, let's make the ugliest doll we can and we'll sell a trillion of them." And so they did, by the way. But I remember my wife, I mean, crazy stuff. Like, because you didn't have internet, you didn't have all this to figure out, okay, when's it coming in? No, you had to call the store or talk to your friends. And like, my wife, I remember her, 4:30 in the morning, at the store as the semi was backing up because there was the rumor that an order of these things were coming in. Crazy stuff, man. Now, there's interruptions like that, and then there's incredibly significant interruptions that hit our life. This year, a lot of people's lives have been very interrupted. We've been interrupted by earthquakes, floods, incredible flooding, fire, even right now as we speak. Fires ravaging our state, even war. You know, some interruptions are good and some interruptions are bad. But here's one thing that they have in common. All interruptions change us in some way. They change our trajectory. They change how we live. They change how we think. Some of you all this year were interrupted by a marriage proposal. Some were interrupted this year by a pregnancy announcement and then a marriage proposal. Some were interrupted by an unforeseen job offer. I mean, you're happy working at your job. I mean, you ain't gonna write home about it, but it's a job and it pays the bills. And all of a sudden, kaboom, something like, "I didn't see this coming." Some were interrupted by the arrival of divorce papers or a cancer diagnosis or the loss of a loved one. Interruptions change our plans. Interruptions can also change us. And when interruptions hit our lives and when things don't go as we had anticipated, what becomes crucial at that moment is how we respond. It is not a question of whether you're going to be interrupted, whether something is going to be a curveball in your life. That's not an if, that's a when. The question is, how do you respond? We can blame God, or we can trust God. We can choose to trust that God really, really does love us, that He still loves us, even when everything seems to be coming apart. And we can trust God and say, "I don't know what's going on right now, but here's what I trust, Lord. You're at work. and I trust you in the middle of this interruption. That's what Christmas is really all about. That's what the scriptures tell us, that God interrupted history. He interrupted people's lives with a plan and with a purpose that was mighty inconvenient. Amen. So he interrupted Mary and Joseph, and he worked a plan for all peoples through this birth of his son, Jesus. So scripture talks about the fact that life is constantly changing. Seasons are constantly changing. Matter of fact, one of the best articulation of it is in a book called Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. It's in the first half of your Bible, and it's Solomon trying to figure out like the ridiculousness at times of life. And so he says this, "For everything that happens in life, there is a season, a right time for everything under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to collect the harvest, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." This is the poetry of Scripture. It's really quite beautiful. But it says life is just going to constantly be turning. Matter of fact, the birds back in the 60s, and yes, I was definitely there. In the 60s, the birds, a group, wrote a song called Turn, 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 which was basically these words from the book of Ecclesiastes. It reminds us that things are going to change, but it also casts a shadow over our lives, and not in a necessarily bad way, but in this way. Life is constantly moving and turning. And we're foolish and naive if we think that what we have right now is going to stay like this. The people in our lives are always going to be in our lives. The opportunities we have right now to express love, offer forgiveness, a new beginning, we think we're always going to have that chance. And then we get a phone call. And that person that we knew we really wanted to get right with is now gone. To everything, there is a season. It's constantly turning. Before my pop died, who was my hero, I couldn't conceive of life without him. I couldn't think that there could be life without him. He was just like the sun in the middle of the universe of my life. And then one day, boom, gone. To everything, there is a season. We are always experiencing change. We're always experiencing interruptions. To just take a few moments during this next song, and I want you to reflect on this past year, the interruptions, the joy, the sorrow, the challenges, and the celebrations, and begin to prepare your heart for fresh hope, fresh future. Let's listen.
Mommies and daddies always believe that their little angels are special indeed, and you will grow up to be anything, but who a shepherd, a teacher is what you could be, or maybe a fisherman out on the sea, or maybe a carpenter building things, but who King. It was so clear when the wise men arrived and the heavens were singing your name, that the world would be different 'cause you are alive. That's why heaven stood still to proclaim. One day an angel said quietly that soon he would bring something special to me. And of all of the wonderful gifts he could bring, who would imagine, who could imagine, who would imagine a king?
The Christmas story, as told in Scripture, is the marking of a new season for all of humanity, not just for this country or this race or this culture. It's a new season for every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet. Luke records the very dramatic interruption, the interruption of a teenage girl named Mary by an angel named Gabriel. And here's how that story begins. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, this has to be the most exciting interruption in all of history. Mary is going about her daily routine. If she was contemporary to us today, she'd be just this teenage girl going to school, doing chores, checking Facebook. And then out of the blue comes this miraculous interaction with an angel. And she learns that God has chosen her to give birth to a baby who will change the course of history. And she's going to give birth to a baby who will bring hope and healing and forgiveness to all humanity. Now, it would be easy to say that Mary was like super excited. Imagine her like running and telling everyone how excited she is about this interruption. If it happened today, she'd probably Instagram the story and hashtag favored woman of God. But excitement is not her first response at all. We actually read, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. You see, it's not every day that an angel appears to you or talks to you. Mary had no idea the ramifications or the significance of this interruption. She had no idea that someday hospitals, churches, cathedrals would be named after her. Cities would be named after her. Even a football pass, the Hail Mary, would be named after her. Which, by the way, was Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson for the Dallas Cowboys. Anyway, Mary had no idea that because of this interruption and her response that people all over the world would speak her name with reverence. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. This is a life-changing moment for her. Because of this moment, Mary's face will be presented in more paintings and pictures than any other woman in the history of the world. So Mary's scared. But the angel makes it clear that God has interrupted her life and her plans for a reason, for a purpose. And he has chosen her for a very specific purpose, to give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He explains how it's going to happen though she's unmarried and has never been with a man. This is quite an interruption to deal with. Once again, it's not a question of whether our lives are going to be interrupted. It's how we are going to respond to the God interruptions in our life. And look how Mary responded. And then she responds with these amazing, faith-filled words. She says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. It's recorded. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." I like an old translation that I used to use a lot that says it this way: according to your word, be it unto me. She's saying, whatever you want to do, Lord, whatever you are doing, I'm all in. I don't get it. I don't understand the ramifications. I don't really understand the full price tag. But this is what you're asking of me. Lord God, I'm all in. When interruption hits Mary's life, when her plans got messed up, she chose to trust, to believe, and to receive God's promise. And here's the thing about interruptions and the way we respond to interruptions. They don't just affect us. They usually affect the people around us, the people that mean the most to us. I mean, it impacted Joseph pretty good as well. He had his entire life interrupted. His entire world turned upside down. He finds out that Mary, his betrothed, is pregnant, and he is devastated. You have to understand the significance of this. It's a very different world then than it is now. This is not like meeting someone and says, ooh, baby, baby, I love you, I love you, will you marry me? Yeah, I love you. Okay, now we're engaged. And then you find out later, what you been doing? And let's get, we're done, baby, we're done. It ain't like that at all. In this culture, it was a lot more serious. This status, you were basically legally married even in this betrothal time. This is how it worked. A man would go with his parents to a woman's, young lady's house, meet with her parents. They would talk. They would negotiate the dowry and all that kind of stuff. And then her father would find out, do you have character? Do you have a profession? Can you put a roof over her head? Can you provide for a family? And in the middle of, at the end of all of this, if both sides say okay, then a deal is struck. Now that gal is not free to date other people. They're legally married, but it's not consummated for a full year, because then the man would go either back home to his house and build an addition to his dad's house, or build a freestanding house. And when that house was finished, then he would come back for his bride, and he would take her to the home he's built, and there they would consummate, and now they're married. By the way, this helps us understand more what Jesus is saying when he says, behold, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be also, and I'm going to come back for you. The groom is going to come back for his bride, the church, and take us to be where he is in eternity, forever. It's a different sermon. So, he's devastated. And so, what do you do? Well, I tell you what you do if you let pride run the show, and your reputation, and are you getting the respect that you're due? If you let that run the show, then you drag her out in public and you say, I had nothing to do with this. She's humiliated and she's a marked woman the rest of her life. Probably end up in the streets. But Joseph was a righteous man, and I think he loved her. So he says, he decides to divorce her privately. Keep it quiet, turn her loose, but not parade her in front of everybody. So this is what he's contemplating doing. And his plans are interrupted. It says in Matthew chapter 1, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the angel explains to Joseph that this interruption is actually God's plan. He's doing something special and miraculous. But just because it was miraculous doesn't mean it was easy. God didn't show up, send angels to meet with Mary's parents and Joseph's parents and have a community hall meeting and explain everything at all. He didn't say anything to anybody. They had to deal with this scandal in their community and just live in the middle of it. Matter of fact, there were whispers. There was wink, wink. We know what really happened. They got carried away. And now what? Claiming what? Matter of fact, 30 years later, there's indications in the gospel that people were still referring to Jesus as the one who kind of came a little early in the marriage. You know what I'm saying? So they live with this all their lives. Yet even in the face of scandal, ridicule, and so much uncertainty, listen to how Joseph dealt with interruption. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. His life was interrupted, yet he chose to obey regardless of what it would mean to his reputation, to his future, in the eyes of his family, in his community, regardless of what it means for his future business opportunities. He chose to trust God in the face of incredible uncertainty. You business people face this all the time. Do you give away your integrity and your character, or do you trust God? Are you God's man? Are you God's woman, even in the midst of that kind of a temptation? Over and over throughout the stories that surround the birth of Jesus, people's lives are interrupted. Mary's life was interrupted. Joseph's life was interrupted. The lives of the individuals we call the wise men or the magi was interrupted. A group of shepherds, their lives were interrupted. This was the lowest rung of society. They couldn't even go into the temple. They were considered unclean all the time. They were like the Hell's Angels of their day. And that's who God announces to, which is, I understand, is God saying, I love bikers because I'm one. All right. On the night that Jesus was born, a group of shepherds were watching over their sheep when their lives were interrupted by an angel. I don't know if you ever noticed before, but whenever we read about anybody in the Bible seeing an angel, they are always terrified and need to change their pants probably. It's a significant event. It says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, at this point, I want to acknowledge the craziness of these stories. If you're a cynic here today, you're here because you're in town for Christmas and they dragged you here, you know, and here you are. Hi, it's good to see you. I've met some of you. And you're not a Jesus follower. You don't buy that stuff. But you're being polite and you're here and you want to be a team player. I understand how these stories can sound like a fairy tale. Angels, and bright lights, and virgins getting pregnant. If you're a skeptic, you might be thinking, you know what all this story needs is a reindeer with a red nose to guide Santa's sleigh. I know that they can sound like just a story. But what if the birth of Jesus happened just like the Bible says it did? And it happened as a result of exactly what the Bible said it resulted from. And what if this purpose, this plan, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. What if that message that has been changing lives for 2,000 years radically, one guy hated the early church, felt they were betraying Judaism, so he became a persecutor of the church, dragging people out of their homes to their deaths to see them executed and cheering on their execution. This despiser of the church has an encounter with Jesus, and he becomes the greatest apostle of them all. And that wasn't just in Bible times. You could look at 2,000 years of history. Lives are being transformed because of this interruption, that Jesus came for us. I think for some of us, it's tough because you don't really associate Jesus with good news. You associate Jesus with mean people or with people with a lot of rules trying to tell you how you should live or just some stories, Jesus from an ancient book. But let me say, if there is anything about Jesus or the church or the people who follow Jesus that doesn't seem like 100% good news, then somewhere somebody has distorted it. And I'm telling you, if it's been represented like that to you, then I want to say I'm sorry. Because as Jesus followers, we get it wrong a lot of the time. But this Jesus story is true. And it's an interruption that can transform your life. The angel said on that first night, I bring you great news, good tidings that will bring great joy to people everywhere. That's the Christmas story. The coming to earth of God as a man to show us God's love, to shut down religion, to set up his kingdom, and to save us from sin is 100% good news. Now, part of this good news is the fact that in the middle of interruptions, in the middle of everything going wrong, in the middle of everything that we thought we had figured out turning out not to be so, God gives something unique. He gives a peace in the middle of the storm. When our plans get messed up and we don't understand why or understand how, there is a supernatural peace available. Mary found it. Joseph had it. They didn't know how this story was going to end. Mary had no idea what she would witness 33 years later. She saw her son ripped to shreds. She was powerless to do anything to stop it. Back to our shepherds. The angel says, this is good news. Now look what happened. Suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests or those whom God is pleased. I want to invite you this Christmas to consider and reconsider this divine interruption. And maybe look at the fact that in the same way that God was intricately involved in the lives of Mary and of Joseph and the shepherds, the wise men, he is just as deeply involved in your life. And some of the things that have gone south, some of the times this year when you zigged, when you should have zagged, some of the shocking news you received that changed everything, could it be that God has not lost control and that we are not just pointlessly hurling through the galaxy, but that God has a very specific purpose for you and all of his plans for you are good. There is not one ounce of evil in God. There isn't anything in him that desires to harm you or to hurt you. He only loves you, and you do not want to hurt the things you love, the people you love, and he loves you so much that he gave his son. Here's what it looked like for me. I didn't grow up in a very religious home. I was an athlete, but I loved to party. And so all through high school, I chased pleasure as much as I chased anything. But I kept hearing about Jesus. These interruptions started, kept coming at me. I'd talk to somebody. I'd read a little tract, a little book or something. And God began to work in my life through a series of circumstances. I remember laying in bed one night when I was 17. I'd been out partying with my friends. Kind of buzzed, and I was laying there, and I said, Lord, I can't change my life. I try, but I fail. If you want me changed, you change me. Tomorrow, I'm going to begin to live as if. And that next day, I just stepped out in faith and served the Lord. I couldn't do it. It was his power, and it was one day at a time. Well, several decades have now gone by since that night, and it's still the same thing. I can't do it, but he can through me. And it's one day at a time. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? We ain't going to get religious on you. We ain't going to use a lot of whither, hither, thither right now. I'm just going to talk to you and say, wherever you are in your life right now, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, tonight is a great night. It doesn't have to be demonstrative. It doesn't have to be a big scene. It can be praying a prayer like this. And if you want to pray it, consider praying it right now, just silently. Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe that when you died on the cross, you died for me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life And from this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.